Does part of this go to the fact that we are more and more every day, and it seems just to get more intense all the time, just sort of instant gratification society? And the reason I say that, you go back and look at the most recent elections in 06, big swing to the Democrats. In 08, big swing to the Democrats. And then, you know, in the very next one, Republicans come right in with, you know, another big swing. They make up, they get huge gains in the House. And it seems like, and this is the way someone else put it, someone smarter than me, seems like sort of just a temper tantrum by the electorate out there. Like, it goes to what you said. People just are not happy with anybody who's there.
Well, I mean, I think there's a little bit to that in which people are having frustrated expectations. Mm-hmm. But I think if you look at the other side of that equation, the people setting those expectations are really not doing a very good job of delivering. Now, how much that's their fault, how much is that of that is a structural reckoning that we're seeing in the country right now that everybody is really struggling to get their heads around? You know, I think you have to kind of divide those two things out. But I mean, I think the notion of people just being hard to please is out there, but it's only part of the picture.
How do you see, specifically to the Republicans now, how do you see this shaking out? A lot of people have said it seems to them that once some of the rest of this dies down with the Michelle Bachmann candidacy and the Ron Paul candidacy, once we get past them, which is the way people have put it, because they don't have the money to sustain a long drag-out fight like Romney and Perry do. Do you see it the same way, that it's going to boil down to those two guys and it could be a knockdown drag-out the way we saw with Clinton and Obama back in 08?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that's a plausible scenario, but there's a couple of things about that. You never really know when something's going to happen that's going to help somebody surge. That's one thing, right? So, you know, for the same reason that these polls can only mean so much right now, you know, if we were to say, just hypothetically speaking, okay, this poll tells us what's going to happen on election day.
Yeah.
Well, the reason that doesn't work is because things change.
Right. I mean,
it's fairly simple, but a lot of things change. That is, you know, people's attitudes change in response, perhaps, to elements in the environment. Elements in the environment change. The candidates themselves change in the sense that maybe somebody starts doing much better, or somebody does something, you know, galactically stupid, or, you know, a lot of things can happen. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, there's that factor. The other factor is that, you know, Ron Paul's an interesting case here in that I think Ron Paul has sent the signal that, not unlike the last cycle, you know, you're going to have to drag him out of this race. You know, he will continue to campaign if he has to, you know, jump in the back of a Honda and, you know, drive around.
So you think maybe he is the one, maybe even more than Michelle Bachmann, because a lot of the oxygen has been taken out of her, I think, candidacy by the entry of Perry into the race. You think that Paul is the one who maybe pushes this as far as into June next year?
Yeah, well, I think Paul stays in there, and Paul staying in there just has kind of a disruptive effect on things that maybe also, ironically, extends Bachmann's stay as well. That is, as long as that part of the spectrum remains active, mm-hmm. It's a little harder for somebody to get decisively pushed out. Okay. Right. And I think that seems a little odd, but the more Ron Paul continues to pick at Perry and pick at Romney, mm-hmm. and, you know, creates those openings for Bachmann to do the same thing, you know, Bachmann has a little bit more of a half-life. So, And if you look at this, I mean, nobody really has figured out where the decisive stand is going to be. I mean, I think Perry is running a little stronger in Iowa as of now than I would have expected, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, their place to really make a stand and kind of launch into the second stage, if you will, is South Carolina, pretty clearly. I mean, everybody knows that. South Carolina is really great Perry territory, not only politically but regionally. And I think one of the things that's not gotten as much attention is that, you know, he has cultivated Nikki Haley, and if Nikki Haley endorses him, that is a huge boost for the campaign. It sends a huge signal, you know, not only to the grassroots, but also to Republican elites.
All right, we're going to see how this shakes out, and of course we'll be visiting with you again. That's James Henson. Thanks.